Welcome to Widow Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. Unfortunately, Mark is not with us again today, but we have some great news. He is in a rehab center now and doing much better. In fact, I'm going to read the latest update that he did about how he's doing. So this was 2 days ago. Jesus is my healer and redeemer. My heart is so full of gratitude. If you haven't heard, I had a big stroke. Thanks to Tina Gillenwater. I was going to say Jill. I think it's Gillen. Gillenwater. I'm still here on earth to be daddy to my kids and love her greatly. She recognized that I was not acting normal and was afraid that I had had a stroke. She went against my wishes and called 911. The last time my kids saw their mommy, she was taken away in an ambulance. I asked Tina to please not call an ambulance. I knew that would terrify my kids. I told the paramedics that I was fine and that the ambulance wasn't necessary. They said, "You need to know your girl calling 911 is the only reason that you are still alive and the only reason that your kids still have their daddy. You should be grateful to her." I am so very grateful, Tina. Thank you, sweetheart. You are a remarkably amazing woman, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life. Never trust my fears over your gut. My kids still have me because of your super smart brain and courage. Thank you doesn't even begin to express what my heart feels towards you. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Thank you, Tina, for trusting your instincts, what God showed you. You knew something was wrong. And we are all so thankful to you for saving Mark's life and, you know, just having a dad for those kids and just all the things, Tina. We are so thankful for you. And I'm going to encourage all of you. It's not my news to share, but I'm going to encourage you to go to Mark's latest post and look up Mark Massaro on Facebook, and you can see something else he's been posting about that I want you to read about on your own. So on another note, before I introduce our special guest today, I want to talk about Mother's Day, which was yesterday while we're recording this. And it was my first Mother's Day in years that I had grief. And I just wanted to talk about that and acknowledge it if other people have been through the same kind of thing. So the first I remember, so this was my third Mother's Day, because Luke died just a few weeks after the last one, or a week after the last one. So this is my third Mother's Day without him. And maybe fourth. Okay, I can't do the math. Anyways, he died in 2020, so whatever that is. And it was weird. Like, everything was great, you know, and now I am remarried, and Joel and I have had a discussion about, yes, Mother's Day is not your responsibility. Like, we don't share that together. I'm not the mother of his kids, and he's not the father of my kids, but he's decided to make it special for me. So he gave me breakfast in bed, and he picked all these wildflowers out on his run and brought them to me. I just wanted it to be a special day. And then I went downstairs, and there were like three more vases of flowers that he picked and said they were from each one of my kids. But I knew he did it. And he just made sure the whole day was really special. So that was absolutely amazing. Because I know being widowed and any single moms, I was acknowledging this yesterday on Facebook, that it's not just widow moms. Any single moms can have a really hard time on Mother's Day because the spouse that used to make you special is no longer there. So it can be very difficult. Anyways, fast forward, we're in church, great, like, worship service. And I'm like, God's bringing me back to, like, I'm having tears of gratitude thinking about how sad I was when Luke died and how God promised me that he would bring me, you know, he'd restore and redeem everything I lost in my marriage. And then just faithful tears for Joel. And then all of a sudden I'm having flashbacks of each one of the kids' births. Like, I'm remembering Hayden's and what that was like, and Haley and Peyton. And just, I just lost it. Like, tears just flowing for Luke. Just like, I miss him. Like, it hasn't hit me like that probably since last August on our would-be 20-year anniversary. It was the last time I had massive grief like that. And it just, you know, wow. And I just let the tears flow, because what we feel, we heal. And it was in church. No one knows why you're crying. I was able to explain it to Joel later. I actually whispered, like, I'm just having a lot of grief. And he's like, I'm sorry, you know. And he just lets me feel those moments. And then I had more moments when I was, like, making a post about him and looking at old pictures. I looked at our first ever family picture when Peyton was born and Haley was, like, 2.5 and Hayden was 3, almost 4. And it just made me miss him and miss the family unit. I know you guys can relate to that. That's what we miss a lot. Even if we get remarried, we still miss our original family unit and what that feels like. So just wanted to share my Mother's Day experience. And then I also realized I never really talked about Haley's birthday. So my daughter Haley turned 18 on May 5th. Crazy. I have an adult child, two adult children now. And that's really strange. I didn't really have grief on her 18th birthday. I'm kind of like preparing for impact for June 8th, her graduation day, that is going to be the one that's going to be difficult for her and for me and her grandparents and a lot of people. But it was exciting. Like, we took her and a friend to the beach last weekend. And then this weekend, she had a bunch of friends over Friday night. She just made her birthday like a big celebration. Then she made another party on Saturday at her favorite restaurant, Red Robin, and met a bunch of friends there. But I love it because she can like plan all her own stuff, which is great. I just was like, tell me when the party is and I'll get you your cake and all your stuff. And so it was fun. She had a great 18th birthday, but it's just weird for me realizing I have two adult kids now and another one about to be, well, 2 years till he's an adult. But it's strange. It's just, we're in a time of like transition too. My oldest is not sure where he's going to go to college. He's done 2 years at one school, but doesn't really want to go back there, which I'm really happy about. I don't love that school for him. And then Haley is still going towards Corbin University in Salem, but we are waiting on FAFSA. They said this week we will get it so we can make a decision about that. And then we had Peyton wants to, we've been at the same private school for 6 years, but he wants to do something different. So we're all set for this homeschool program where he would go 2 days a week and be home. And it's completely full. So now we are like, okay, God, what's next? So we are searching for him. So I just feel like we're in a big transition period right now with schooling and stuff like that. But anyways, let's get on to our episode. It's also weird bantering by myself. I don't like it. I need Mark back. Mark, please come back as soon as possible. We all miss you. And it's just way more fun and way more entertaining with you here. But I am very excited today because we have a very special guest. We're going to start doing a series called Where Are They Now? When we interview people from the past. And you heard a little bit from her last week because she was on the top 10 episodes. She was in the episode 31 called Widowed Without Warning. And I'm excited to have her back and for you guys to see what she's been up to. It's been about 2 years since that podcast. So welcome, Olya. This is Olya Masnov. How are you today, Olya?
Hi, Michelle. Good. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. Good. Thank you so much for being here. So first of all, since yesterday was Mother's Day, I'd love to ask you, how was Mother's Day for you this year?
Actually, I think it was good. My kids did a good job just acknowledging their mom. So that made me happy. They did a good job. Just, you know, sweet notes and flowers.
Right.
And surprisingly, it was good. I think if it was Father's Day, that would be a lot harder for me.
Right.
But with it being Mother's, it was more like attention was on me and I didn't have to think so much about their dad not there. They did a good job. It was easier than I thought. It was good.
Yes. So could you briefly tell us, if people want to hear the whole story, please go back to episode 31, but briefly tell us a little bit about when your husband died and a little bit about how that happened and what it was like in the beginning.
Sure. So my husband died over 3 years ago. And like you said, it was very sudden, unexpected. He basically had a heart attack. And so none of it was, you know, there was no way to know something like that was coming. And really, from the beginning, when it happened, you know, you go through that shock. I would say just really the prayers of people is what really carried us through. Cause I remember just in that moment when I found out, cause he was traveling and it happened very sudden. And when I heard of it, I just remember just God's peace kind of take over and, like his presence. And so I knew that like God is going to be with us through all of it. And he's just not going to leave us because of that peace that I felt in that moment. But you know how it is. And it was, you know, just kind of the grief just followed. But from the moment it was, I think prayers and just people being there. Mm-hmm. We had a great community of people that care, a lot of people that prayed. And so, we were married for almost 20 years. And he was just on his way to a trip and had a very sudden heart attack.
Wow. And remind me of his name?
Tim.
Tim, that's right. That's right. And then How many kids did you and Tim have?
So him and I had five children, and then both of us are we have a lot of connections with Ukraine. I was born there, and so we
That's
actually
right.
ended up adopting three boys from Ukraine,
Wow.
so eight in total.
8 kids. Wow. And what's the age range now? Like, what's the youngest and what's the oldest?
So our youngest turned 9 this week, actually,
Okay.
this past week, and our oldest by birth, he's 20. And then our very oldest, two boys from Ukraine, both are 23. So we have from 9 till 23.
Wow. So let's go back to a few years ago when you, well, I guess 3 years ago when this happened. So you've got all these kids, you're suddenly a single mom. Like, what was life like for you back in the beginning? And yours was no warning at all. What was it like?
It was very hard. I talk about this to my friends who've asked, but it's kind of like you go through this identity crisis because you all you remember and all you know is, being married, and then all of a sudden that person that's like your other half is not there. So that was very difficult. I just remember, like, who am I? Just like, you're a child of God. You know that you are, you have your identity in Christ, but just on this earth, you do get used to being together, being one with the person you're married. And so it was like a rip apart. You feel like torn. And so I had a lot of that where I was just like I just don't know, like, who am I, right? Without my husband, like, who am I, like, on my own? And so it was very difficult for sure. But I think just so many people praying really carried us through. I just remember that vividly, how much that was such a blessing for us. But it was hard.
Yeah, and was it hard, obviously, what was it like being a single mom suddenly of 8 kids? And like, did you just feel so much pr I feel like I felt it with three, so imagine that pressure of, I mean, just what was that like for you, that aspect of it?
I think being busy did help me, but I also felt like, wow, I have a lot to do because I'm all on my own doing a lot of things. And I have teenagers, so they're very helpful as well. But I think it was more of that, like, emotionally you're on your own, But I think still, with the fact that I had a very busy life with all the kids and all the activities, I felt that was helpful in just keeping me active and busy. But being a single mom, I remember thinking, wow, I feel so much compassion for these people that actually have to do it by themselves, because I never experienced that before, so I didn't know what that was like. And I did feel, I felt the difference, and it was just, you feel like you're on your own.
Yeah, that's very difficult. So when we caught up with you a couple years ago, your healing had started and the progress had started to, being able to be in a place of peace. So what are some things, I know you have a great church community, but what are some things that helped your healing? Can you think of specific things? Oh, and just so everyone knows, I didn't give her any warning on any of these questions. We're just having a regular conversation. So anyways, if you could tell us like some things that helped you in your healing.
I think the biggest thing probably is when it happened, I feel like the Lord really just changed my perspective on life, and I started just to see more of just our life here is so short, and just having that kind of on my mind a lot. But practically, I would say, even listening to you guys, I learned so many things. I did, yeah. And just getting, people that went through that helped me a lot. But I think just having a perspective of more eternity versus this life was really powerful for me, because prior to that, I feel like my whole world kind of evolved around the here and the now so much because of all of the things that are tangible, right? And when the tangible is gone, you really realize quickly, just how short life is, and that really it's not about this life. And I think just that mindset, that I think the Lord is the one that gave me that, really just helped me to have that more peace.
Did you find other widows to connect with? Like a community of people?
Well, in our community here, there really weren't any. I did not know, but I did try to reach out to some people that they weren't really, from our city, but we did have some people that were from that I knew from out of state, and some people reached out to me, and that was helpful. Definitely, because you feel like no one can really understand you unless they walk
Right.
through it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's something that you can't really explain, and that's why I love meeting other people who've been widowed because they get it. So let's talk about what is the biggest thing that's changed since we last talked to you 2 years ago.
A lot has changed. So the Lord has actually brought a person to my life, a person that my husband knew and was actually a friend of his, and a friend that he knew for a long time and trusted, a very godly man. And the Lord has just really over time showed us that that was his plan for us. So now I'm actually engaged, and we'll be
Yay.
getting married soon. So that's a huge news.
Congratulations. That's huge.
That is huge, yeah.
Let's talk
And
about
that's
because,
coming up soon, so.
yay. Okay, because I know a lot of this is 5 out of our top 10 episodes are about dating, and like people are really curious about all these things, like how you get to this life, how do you meet someone. So could you tell us, and what is your fiance's name?
His name is Joseph.
Joseph. So can you tell the listeners and myself, the story of how you and Joseph, I mean, you talked a little bit about there, but like, how did it happen? Like, we're maybe start with when did you become open to dating, or like, did you come to open to dating, or have you just dated him, or like, what is your story with how your heart got to where it is today?
I wouldn't say that I was open to dating. I was more of whatever God's plan is, I'm open to that. And in my mind, I knew that whatever God would show me, if I knew that something was very clear and if it was from Him, then I would be, I would say yes to God's plan, whatever that plan is, whether I'm by myself or if He has a plan like that for me. And so, I think just being open to His will was what really helped me. I never said like my way or no way. I was just whatever God does, I'll accept. Later, I found out that there were a lot of people praying for me and just praying that I guess that God would, provide for someone. And I didn't know they were praying, but there was quite a bit of people that later told me that. But I always just, and that's kind of how it was when Tim and I got engaged. I just needed to know that it was from the Lord. And if it was clear, then I would be okay with it. And so that's kind of how it happened this time. God just led us to each other and opened up our hearts for one another. And when I saw how the Lord was leading and that it was clear that it was in His will, it was not hard to accept it because I saw it as from the Lord. And I already know anything from the Lord is just such a blessing because that's how it was with Tim. It was such a blessing because it was from the Lord.
Yeah, and how did you just because listeners might be wondering this too, like how did you know it was from the Lord? What about the situation made you know that?
Just having so much peace. And like I said, this is a person that my husband has known for a long time, and a trustworthy person, a godly man. Because when you go through something like this, you don't take this lightly, right? I'm like marrying again. No one takes that lightly. That's just such a big decision. So I would just say having a lot of peace and just like he was put on my heart, I was put on his heart, and with the Lord doing that without us realizing he was doing that, and then kind of bringing it to pass, finding out that the Lord did that, that was kind of a miracle. Was not expected.
So how did you guys reconnect? I mean, he was your husband's friend, but like, how did it start? Like, kind of like talking and the spark start. Like, what was that like? How did that start?
So, like I said, this is a person that my husband knows, and he actually he works. We have a family business, and it was interesting because this is a man that my husband has known for many years, and actually has asked him to work at the family company probably 8 years ago already. So we have known each other through work, but just in other aspects because they've done certain things together, and he's known him that long.
And so you guys were working together, and then like, did he ask you out, or how did that happen?
No, he just one day basically asked to talk to me.
Oh,
And
okay.
yes, and so he shared that he has been praying for a long time, and that the Lord put me on his heart. And like I said, the Lord put each other on our hearts.
Yeah.
And so he had asked me to talk to me, and he had shared that. And it was just so kind of like, when you know, you know.
Yes, yep.
So it was very, very amazing how God did that, because, like I said, it's nothing you kind of plan or expect, but it's really of the
Right.
Lord when He leads it in such a visible way. And so he asked, he just said, if you're willing to pursue a relationship. But very quickly, the Lord showed us, this was part of His plan. So
Wow.
it was not long before we got engaged, because once you know, and you don't
Exactly.
plan to just date, or it's one of
Right.
those things. If it's from the Lord, you go through with it. And it just helped that I was open to that, because I saw it was clear. And that was my biggest thing. I just wanted to make sure that if the Lord leads in that way, that He would show me clearly. And He did, to both of us.
That's so beautiful. You're a true example of what we always say, let God write your love story. Like, you don't have to go searching for it. Like, God will bring it to you. Just like Joel was brought across my Facebook as someone I might know, and then we started talking, and it just kind of happened. So you guys have a unique dynamic that I don't have with Joel, because he never knew Luke. What is that like? Are you able to? I think that I would imagine that would be kind of special, because he knew Tim and like has memories with Tim. Like, how is that element? Like, what is that like in your relationship? Like, do you guys
Yeah,
talk about him, or how
it's
does it work?
very special. I'm actually very grateful, because he remembers. I mean, he has stories, and he knows
I
him.
love that.
Actually, they've known each other from high school, from their senior year
Wow.
in high school. So it's been a really
That's
long time.
awesome.
And yes, the fact that he can talk about him and honor his memory, honor his legacy, that means a lot to me. And I know that will be a blessing for the kids, because he mentions him, with the kids, and we talk about him, and I feel very comfortable talking about Tim, because I know that he understands and he
Yeah.
knows him. So for me, it's very special, and I'm very grateful for that, because it's important, just to remember the legacy and to honor and to have those memories. It's so important, because of the years going by, and you just want to always remember. And the fact that I can talk to him about it, and he knows him, is very special.
Now, did you ever have, I had this when I first started dating. Did you ever have any grief or feel weird, like on a date, or like, this is feels strange? I don't know. Just what's that like for you?
Yes, of course, because this is not the natural way, right? The
Right.
natural way is you just marry one person and you
Yeah.
grow old with that person, and that's the only person that you are ever with. But we know, as Christians, because of sin entering the world, not everything is broken now, and things don't play out that way for majority of people in this life. It's not as simple, because when I was young, I just thought it was that simple. You get
Yeah,
married, you
right.
grow old together, it's amazing. But as you grow older, you realize, that's not the case for so many people. And so the fact that it's not the way that God intended it to be, right? He didn't intend for af what happened after sin,
Right.
because now we have death and we have suffering. And so it's very different, and it doesn't feel natural at first, right? But you understand, you come to it with faith, and that's how I've come to view it. You come with faith, you believe in what the Lord is doing, and you just trust Him. And then, He supplies for us, He makes things fine, and He helps us in the process where we just accept it. But yeah, definitely, it's not, you don't plan for that. So when it
Right.
happens, you just really trust the Lord.
And it can be conflicting, and like, people don't understand that you can love two people at once. Like, you can love
Yes.
Tim and Joseph, just like I love Luke and Joel. Like, it's a very strange thing that people from the outside, usually people that haven't been through grief, don't understand it. They're like, wait, how do you love him and him? And like, they think that one love cancels out the other. But as I've explained a million times on the podcast, it's like when you have one child, you think you can love them anymore. You have another child, you love them. You know, your love expands. And I feel like that's what happens when you find love after loss, that you can hold place in your heart for both of them. And the right man, like Joseph, like Joel, they will understand our love for our late spouses. And they will appreciate that and give us space and all of the things and be sensitive to that and all of that. So I'm excited to know the next answer because I have not even asked you this. Tell us about the proposal. What was that like?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think we both knew. We've pretty much talked about it. Like, we knew that that's where God was leading us. It was clear. So we talked about it. And I think we were just waiting for basically the last, I guess the last part before the proposal. He wanted to talk to my parents and just, and to see that everything is good. And we had that time with our parents. And when everything was good, that was kind of the last thing that he wanted to do, it seemed like, because after that, he proposed shortly after. So we knew, like, I knew we were going to get married. We talked about it. But it was a very, it was very neat because, well, he didn't want me to know that he was going to ask. And so, the way that it was is just, we, came together for lunch and, we usually pray, during our week. And so it was one of those like prayer times and those lunch time. And so it was very unexpected. And in that moment, he proposed, but before that he read some scriptures that kind of sum up what God has done in our life right now. Psalm 40:1-5 is the scripture that he talks about often, we talk about. And so he started saying those verses, and I just thought, you know, because he said those verses before, so it wasn't anything that I didn't expect what he was going to do. And he, after that, he recited those verses. Yeah, he asked me to marry him.
Oh, that's so sweet. And yeah, I had one of those like shocking proposals. Like, I wasn't expecting it. Like, kind of fun. You're like, I had no idea this is coming. And it's just a fun thing. So how did you tell your kids?
Yeah, so started kind of with the older ones, you know, one by one, and then the younger ones. It's difficult, of course, for them. And it's just such a change, and we understand. So I think most, for the very oldest one, he understood, because we had told them before that, that the Lord has led us to one another. And, you know, we're not dating just to date.
Right.
This is for marriage. And so I think they knew. And so we just kind of told them one by one, told the younger ones, it wasn't all at once. It was just at separate times.
Yeah.
And just told them that, you know, we knew this was coming and the Lord has led us in this way and now it's official. And so,
oh, that's beautiful. I'm also curious about this, all things weddings. I love, like, some people want a big wedding, some people want tiny, like, I did a big wedding. That's what I wanted. What are you guys going to do?
Yeah. Well, we initially wanted it really small, just with family, because we have a lot of family. So we realized quickly that it's not going to be small because we have so much family. And now we also have a lot of friends, and we're trying to keep it as small as we can, but it's not small. And that's just with the very, very immediate friends and family that are going to be there. So not as small as we thought it would be.
Yeah. Like in a church, or like, what are you guys going to do with it?
No, we have a venue, and it will be outside and inside, the whole thing. Both.
Nice. That's beautiful. I love it. And remind me, I don't even remember what state you live in. Remind you where you live.
Yeah, it's where Mark lives, Tennessee.
Oh, seriously, what city? Because now I know Tennessee a little bit.
Yeah, we're really close to Chattanooga, but we're closer to Knoxville, where Mark is. And so we're about an hour and a half from Mark.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I should have stopped and saw you. I know we had a lot of time, but I just didn't connect that. Because we started, I wonder if we passed the town. So we landed in Louisville, Kentucky, and then drove to Knoxville. Are you anywhere in that drive, or were you past that?
So we're We're north of Chattanooga. You know, we're Atlanta, Chattanooga, then you just keep driving north towards Knoxville. So we're in that area.
Okay.
Cleveland is our town.
Okay. Well, very cool that we were close. Anyways, so it'll be nice weather for you to do an indoor outdoor wedding. That's beautiful. And are your kids going to be part of it? What is that like?
No, we're just going to keep it small. I mean, our goal and our desire is for God to be honored that day in
Yes.
a way. And so we don't really want, for them to feel anything like pressure or any kind of distraction. And so in that way, we won't have any of that. Just, it'll be beautiful but simple.
Yeah, I love that because just like grief is personal, like your weddings are personal, like it can be whatever you want it to be. And I know some people that get married again, they just want a courthouse simple thing. For me, I was like, this, it was actually a vision that got me through a lot of hard times before I even met Joel. Like, I knew I wanted to get married again, and so I had a vision of a big, beautiful wedding. I didn't know I was gonna have the plane fly me away and all that, those details, but because Joel's a pilot, so he had to fly us away. But that was my vision, you know, and so everybody can choose whatever works for them. That's beautiful. And another question, I have so many questions because we've only actually talked on the phone one other time, so there's lots of details I don't know yet. What is he gonna move in with you, or are you gonna move with him? Like, how is that gonna work?
Yeah, so we live really close to our place of work, and right now he's about 45 minutes away from where we live. And so
Okay.
he will actually be moving to where we live in our town.
Okay. Okay. And do you guys currently go to the same church or not? Because he's far away.
Right. So he was going to his church 45 minutes away, and because he's going to be living here close, and it's easier. That's how he said it, it's easier to serve in a local church where you're close to the church. And so he's actually going to be coming to our church.
And it's okay, just some advice from my wedding day. Like, it's okay to feel a little bit of grief. Like, I actually had a little bit just because it was like, I don't know, it was hard, you know. And if anyone's listened to my daughter's episode recently, I didn't know until the episode over a year later that she was very sad that day. Like, I thought it was happy tears too, but she's like, no, you have moved forward and I haven't. And that's hard for me. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I knew she was sad, but I didn't realize that sad. So just knowing our kids, like holding space for our kids to feel like that. We actually read this poem that I found somewhere on Instagram, and then I added my own stuff to it. When we start, it was the first thing we did after I walked down the aisle. The pastor said, you know, Michelle and Joel, something they want to share. And we read this thing about how whatever you're feeling today, because we have mixed people, we have people that are sad because, you know, there's a loss. They lost a dad. There's people that are sad because there was a divorce and they lost their family, you know. So we have all of that, and that it's okay to feel like we wanted to address the elephant in the room. Like, you can be feeling what we are. This is here. This marriage is a blessing, but there's been sadness in order to get to this day. And so we just kind of acknowledge that. And then I actually, the day before the wedding, I went to Luke's grave and I talked to him and I was like crying. And I'm like, this doesn't mean I love you anyway. I mean, okay, talk to him. I don't know. I know I'm not really talking to him. It's just how I work through. I want to make that clear. I don't talk to the dead. Like, we've talked about that. But, you know, it just makes me feel better. I know it's not him, but it's just my way of processing. And just was like, I still love you just as much. This doesn't change things. But I actually, like, yeah, I just felt like going to the grave the day before. And so it can bring up a lot of emotions. It's a very, very, very happy day, but it is a little bittersweet too, especially now for me knowing what my daughter was feeling. I mean, she was a bridesmaid. She sang in the wedding. She sang our first dance. But then on the other hand, my oldest son, he's a great voice too. I asked him to sing and he's like, I don't want nothing. I don't want anything to do with that. Like, that's, he's like, it's going to be a hard enough day as it is. You know, so I know it was hard.
Yeah, it's absolutely bittersweet. Absolutely.
My in-laws came to the wedding, which was beautiful. They wanted to from the beginning. When I was engaged, my mother-in-law, like Luke's mom, said, will we be invited to the wedding? I'm like, of course. Like, it's up to you. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But Luke's mom's sisters, nieces, nephews, how is that for you, with your
Yeah, it's
in-laws?
actually been blessing. They're actually one of the people that have been praying for me, and they shared with me later how They were like, "You're young. We don't want you to be alone, you know, so that, you know, you have even help with your family." And they just really care. And we live very close to one another. We're very close. And so, you know, to me, they just remain my parents always.
Yeah.
And so they're very excited, very grateful. They're just very supportive. And so that's been a blessing just to see. They're very mature Christians. So, of course, that helps. And they're very happy.
Yes. Yeah. I think very, like with Luke's family, they're very happy, but also it was a sad day too, because they're watching, you know, like, especially
it's another reminder.
Yes. Just another reminder that Luke is gone. And
And that's what makes it hard. It's those reminders that you realize you're in a different place. What you thought was going to be is not there. You see what God is, you know, his grace and his mercy, and how you mentioned how he brings beauty from ashes, but it's still the reminder of what was lost and what is no longer there, I think, for everyone. Absolutely.
But one of the most beautiful things I've seen, it was not even that long ago, a couple months ago, Haley had a concert. And so now Luke's parents and his sister, they live a couple hours away, but they came, his mom and then a couple of the niece and nephews, they came to visit to go to one of Haley's concerts, and Joel made us all dinner, and it was just like beautiful, like us all sitting down to dinner together. You know, it's obvious that there's a loss, but yet God has given this man to our family who is bonding with the kids and, you know, all of those things. And he will never, and I think this is important, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, he's never going to try to be their dad. Like, he's never going to try to replace Luke, but he's there to be, we talked to them about, he's another support system in your life, you know, and wants to help you. And recently, it's been beautiful to watch Peyton, my 16-year-old, and Joel have really gotten closer. They do a Bible study together every week on Sundays. They just sit down and talk about things, and they, you know, Joel's teaching him things about driving and cars and just all of this stuff, because, you know, Peyton was 12 when his dad died, so there's a lot of stuff he would have learned in these formative years. And so it's so beautiful to watch that interaction and just to see that growing. You know, it's taking a little longer. Like, my oldest, he's been at college, so they haven't really bonded as much. And then my daughter's a girl, and it's just like more awkward, I think, you know, 8-year-old girl, and she was such a daddy's girl. So that's been different. But yeah, just watching the bonding. How is Joseph with your kids? How was that like?
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. You know, he's a very godly man, and he's just a great example, you know, to them, very kind. But like you said, he's careful, you know, just to, like, when it's the boundaries, like, he knows he's not their dad, so he definitely wants to be there for them, but it is difficult. And I think for them, it will take time.
Yes, it does.
That just being an adult and even hearing you guys talk, it will take time. And I think just like for us, this is where the Lord is asking us, do you trust me, right? With all that has happened, do you trust who I am and what God has allowed and in his sovereignty? I think it's the same for our kids going through this hardship. I think it's God is asking them, do you trust me with everything? And even in this, because this is so difficult. It's not natural. It's hard. It's painful. But I do think with years, it will be a growth for them. Just like we have grown through our grief, we have grown through what we had to go through. And I think the same for them. They will grow. Mm-hmm. And so that's my hope. My hope is that it will get easier for them, and they'll just see the blessings on the other side. Because it is a blessing to have godly people, you know, like this in your life.
Yeah, exactly. So when we were about to get married, we went to this blended family class, and they said, you know, but I don't know if it's necessarily true, because God can do anything, but this is what they said is normal. You take how old the kids are when you get married and divide it in half, and that's how many years until they're okay with you. So I was like, my 20, no, he was 18, no, 19 at the time. Like, what is going to, you know, take all these years to be 9.5 years, whatever that is. 9.5 years. For my kid, my oldest to be okay with him and his oldest to be okay with me. Like, that's a long time, but, you know, God can do things, and it doesn't have to be that way. And something interesting that happens with my kids is people will call Joel their dad once in a while, but they don't really correct them, but Joel will. So this happened just on Thursday. We had a new person at our home group, and she knew Peyton it's a long story, but she was like, oh, you must be Peyton's mom. I'm like, yeah, and this is my husband, Joel. And then she goes, oh, I see where, you know, the Peyton's looks come from. You look like him. And it was a room full of people, and the rest of the people knew. It was very awkward. I just kind of sat there, and Joel was like, well, we're a blended family. She was like, oh, sorry. And then I explained to her about Luke and everything, and she just felt bad. But, you know, my kids have done really good. Like, they know, like, people just, they don't know. Like, right. My kids say most of the time, they just don't correct it. Haley said all the time at school, people say, your parents. Like, they just say it instead, you know, and she's like, they know. Like, I did a speech in front of the whole school. Like, they know. Then they just forget, or it's easier to see that. I don't know. But it's interesting, like, my kids don't, they're fine with it, but, there are awkward situations. I also find it awkward whenever we're meeting new people. Since we're in a new church, we've met a lot of people, like, oh, how long have you guys been married? And we're like in the beginning, it's like 6 months or whatever. And they think you're going to say 20 years or whatever.
Right.
And then, oh, okay. And then it's this whole thing, and I don't get into it always right away that I'm widowed. And it's just, it's interesting. Like, it's just a different place in life. Anyways, enough about me. So I wanted to ask you a few more questions, going to, like, other parts of your story. So how have your kids been with grief? Just not including your getting married again, but just grief in general in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I think for some, it's definitely been harder than for others. I think some just get kind of almost like in this, a little bit of an easier way where they just accepted it and just kind of trusted the Lord through it. And for some, I see that because they've just almost closed the door to grieving, it has affected them, you know, where if they would talk about it more or be willing to go through it on a more vocal way, I do think it would have helped them. But I think I have a couple that are just kind of keeping it inside. And so I see the difficulty in that. Like I said, my hope is just that with time, the Lord will really just work in their hearts, because I know that it's a process for them too, just like it is for us.
Yeah, and I found that I only have three of them, but every one of them is different in how they deal with it, their timing they deal with it, and what they do. You know, I have one that's never been to counseling, doesn't want to at all. Two that have one that's currently and doing really well with the counseling. Another one's doing really well without counseling, and one that could definitely use counseling but doesn't want to. So it's just, they're all at different places. Have you or any of your kids gone through any grief programs or anything like that?
I did Grief Share, that class. It was really helpful because I didn't know prior to that class that what I'm feeling is that normal, right? Yes. And in that class, they really acknowledged that it's different for everybody and everyone feels different. And so they did a really good job explaining how grief works, because I had no idea. I was just confused. Like, am I feeling, like, how am I supposed to feel? Like, this is just so complicated and so difficult. How do you grieve this? My kids have not. They have not. Have noticed that the three of our adopted boys, this has been the easiest for them, this transition. Versus, you know, our bio children.
Right.
And I wonder if it's because they've already went through so much that it's easier for them. Yeah. So they're fine with everything, like with the changes, they're fine with that. But the other ones, you know, like I said, there's some where it's harder than others. And also the younger ones, I've realized how much easier it is for them than for the older ones.
Right.
They are, like the Bible says, the little children, right? They just take things by faith and they just are able to process things and get through things a little bit easier than the older ones.
And I know I always ask this on interviews. I think, well, you're my first one. Maybe I didn't. So either way, what advice would you give to a new widow? I know it's kind of a big question. I didn't give you any warning, but just some things you could think of that, you know, you wish someone maybe would have sent to you or just anything like that.
Well, I agree with what I learned in Grief Share, that I think everyone feels different things, but it does not make it not normal, because I think that's where the confusing thing for me was, like, how are you supposed to feel in your grief, right? But really just not to lose hope, as difficult as it is, like, the Lord is with us, like, he really is with us every step of the way, and you'll get through it, like, you'll be able to, you know, just have joy again and be able to not be in that moment of just despair, thinking that this is kind of your life is over, right? With God, it's not over, and He will still, He's walking us through till the end, really, because I do believe that our life is just for us to prepare for eternity, and He uses all kinds of things to get us closer to Him, and this is one of the hardest things, but we do grow through it, and I would just encourage them, like, don't lose hope, and just be encouraged that God is there, and He really is, and He will make you stronger through all of the
so
challenges.
good. Yep, when I was new widow, I just wanted to know it wasn't always going to hurt as bad as it did in the beginning. And it doesn't, you know, we have to go through our hard journey, but it's not as bad as that first day, week, month, you know, all of that stuff. We're just in so much pain that it's just like, am I going to be able to survive this? So what is your grief like currently? You know, when we're first widowed, it's like, I always say it's like, you know, cloudy every day and then a little sunshine and then it gets better and easier. You know, where are you at? And there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious. Our listeners may be curious too, being like 3 years out, where you're at with everything.
Yeah. I think it's just, like you said, you know, you love two people. And before I didn't realize that's possible,
right?
But you know, He does that. And I didn't understand how that works before until I was in those shoes and currently in this situation. And so it's just like moments like where you realize like, wow, I miss him so much, right? I miss him. And so it'll just happen kind of at random. Overall, God has really sustained me and I'm doing well. I feel like I grieved well because of just prayers and of people and just trusting in God. He really helped me to get through it in a good way. But currently, like I said, sometimes you'll just, like I had this in church where you just, you know, you feel like what you don't have, what you used to have, and you feel that almost like that void of like, oh my goodness, like I don't have the life that I thought I would have, right? And so, and you feel it in that moment, but it's not like often. And so just random.
Yeah.
It comes at a random time.
That's kind of where I feel it. I'm at. And do you feel it more for your kids, like the moments that, like when they're grieving and the moments that their dad is missing? Because that's kind of how I feel.
Oh, for
I feel,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That's the hardest, to see them, like knowing, you know, like, oh my goodness, their dad is not here.
Right.
Like going through all the milestones of like the graduations and the birthdays and all those things when you know, like he's not there. But I had to remind one of my kids even just the other day, you know, we didn't say goodbye, we said see you soon. Like he's our dad, your dad, you know, Tim, he is not dead, he's alive, you know. And I think about that all the time, like he's more alive than any of us.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have to remind them, like, we just said we'll see you soon, and so we have to keep that faith, keep that trust in God, and it helps with the grieving to see it from that perspective. But definitely for them, I feel a lot of it for them, for sure.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Well, I really appreciate you coming on here today and answering my million questions and sharing the audience, you know, where you are now, because I'm sure people who listened a few years ago and then they're like, oh, I wonder what happened. And so I think it's beautiful to be able to come back and see what God has done in your life. And I'm very excited for you. To get married again is such a beautiful thing. I mean, it's hard. You can't really explain it until you've done it. And then it's just like, wow. Like, I think we just appreciate love so much because it's like we know what it's like to lose it. And so then I know with Joel, I feel like it's seize the day every day. Like, I want to spend as much time as possible with him because life is short and life here on earth is short. And I just want to, you know, live every day to the fullest and be with him as much as possible and all that stuff. So I'm super excited for you. I'll be excited to see you post pictures about that and all your fun adventures as a new blended family. And is there anything else that you would like to say today?
I mean, God is faithful, you know, he's with us and he has really just shown me more of his love, even going through this, going through the hardship, but now being in this season, being in this chapter, God has shown me his love for us as his children. I've seen it, you know, through being married to Tim and now God sending a godly man in my life that shows me Christ's love continually. And so it's a blessing to experience that. And I just think, yeah, we just need to keep keep on the race that we're on, continue to trust God through whatever comes our way.
That's so good. Well, thank you very much. So if you liked this podcast, give me a little ding, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Please join our widow community. There's a link in the show notes. We have the Widow Too Soon Facebook page. That's a large one. That's good. But I love the community one because I'm able to do polls and you guys are able to post. So make sure you find that in the show notes and join us. And we will see you again next time. Have a great day. Bye.